If you would turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 3, you may want to place a marker there too. We'll come back to Romans a few times, especially at the beginning this evening. The first time I got to speak a full-length sermon, it was similar to today. I was speaking on a Sunday night, and the gentleman who spoke that morning just happened to have almost the exact same topic that I was preaching on. And I pulled out my outline while he was up there speaking, and I took a red pen and I started marking through all the points that he made, and that whole lesson was crossed out. And the person who was sitting next to me that saw me doing that, they thought it was hilarious, but I didn't think it was very funny. And so I went home and I had about 2 hours to come up with a sermon because I was just, I wasn't going to do this same sermon again a few hours later. And I thought it was going to happen again this morning. But I hope there's enough differences tonight where you get something out of it. I didn't go home and change this one. So we're sticking with what I had prepared. But, there's a saying that we have in the English language about having a clean slate. And I was just curious as to where this saying came from, because I've been hearing it a lot lately with the beginning of football season. You know, every team that's running out of the tunnel this weekend or last weekend or even high school, I guess 2 weekends ago, every school that's running out of the tunnel are undefeated. 0-0. And they have high hopes. Everybody has a clean slate. I've heard television announcers, radio announcers say that. Even the Denver Broncos have a chance to do something well this year. Hope there are not any Denver fans here. I'll try to pick a team that wouldn't make anybody mad. But, in doing my research, the closest thing I could come to as far as the origination of that is back when we used to have chalkboards, which wasn't too long ago, people would say, when you clean the chalkboard, you have a clean slate. You can start all over and you can start writing whatever you want to, start from scratch, so to speak. And so that's kind of, what we're talking about tonight or will be later is making sure we have something clean to start with. But we use it in all kinds of ways of life. I don't know if you've ever been to Marble Slab Creamery, but they have a slate or a slab where they start, mixing the ice cream together, and you can watch them fix your favorite treat. And you probably hope he started with a clean slate when he's mixing the ice cream for you. Or I thought I'd have a picture of Jenna to put here, but she hasn't come yet. So this is actually one of Kate's baby pictures. But you think about those of you that have had children. When you hold that baby for the first time, that is, to me, the definition of a clean slate. That baby is so innocent, and starting life from scratch, and there's just something pure about that when you hold that baby. But tonight, the spiritual equivalent of that is somebody that comes from the waters of baptism. That second birth is the same as a newborn baby, pure and undefiled before God. There's been a lot of encouraging things that Aaron and I have seen here in almost a year since we've been worshiping here. And we love everyone here. We've really enjoyed our time. But one thing that has really impressed me are the number of baptisms that we've had here in this length of time. And that shows something to all the teaching that's going on here, the encouragement that's going on here. But every time someone is baptized here, I have the thoughts of, that is somebody that is pure and undefiled. They have a clean slate. You know, the thing that makes baptism so special is that sin makes us dirty. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That word "all" doesn't leave anybody out. Everybody from Adam till now who has walked on this earth, saved Jesus Christ himself, has sinned. They are a sinner. And that includes all of us here today who are of the age of accountability. And what makes sin so bad, if you want to turn over to Isaiah chapter 59, is because before sin, we are all pure. We all have a relationship with God. But as soon as sin comes in our lives, we read in Isaiah chapter 59 verses 1 and 2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Sin separates us from the creator of the world, our creator, the one who loves us so much and can be a father to us, totally takes us out of his presence. And if you'll use your marker and go back to Romans and turn over to chapter 6. It seems like in our culture, a lot of times we like to minimize sin. That people that are living in sin, that's just the normal thing to do. Everybody does it. You see it on TV, you hear it in music, you go to work, everybody there talks about sinful things or involved in sinful things. And maybe we get to the point sometimes where we think, well, since everybody does it and God lets the world go on, maybe, you know, it's not that big of a deal. But we need to remind ourselves not only does sin separate us from God, but God hates it so much that it says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's how serious God takes sin. The wages are death. So we've all been there. We're all sinners at some point in our lives. But the good thing about it is our Father loves us so much that He gave us the way to be reconciled with Him through baptism. In Mark 16:16 that Greg spoke about this morning, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And then 1 Peter 3:21, so these were the parts that were getting marked off this morning. There is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism gets us back to being pure and holy, just like that little baby. We are back with a clean slate before God, starting anew. And not only that, back to Romans chapter 3. This should say verses 23 through 26. We've already read the first part of that. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." Now, a few words there that I've highlighted that illustrates the point of a clean slate tonight. We've been justified if we've been baptized. Probably the best description I've heard of that is it makes it just if I'd never sinned before. It makes us right in the sight of God. Also, redemption, that Christ has paid for us, bought us back. Propitiation has that idea of a payment as well, and that payment was steep. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. And the thing that makes that so nice is it says that God will just completely pass over the sins that were previously committed, no matter how bad we were. You know, to illustrate that point even further, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, Paul writes to the Corinthians here and you want to talk about a church who had some issues. The church at Corinth had some pretty serious issues. There were a lot of things going on there. Notice in verse 9 and 10, the description of the things that were going on among the members there. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." There's a lot of bad people in that list, right? But in verse 11, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God." Doesn't matter how dirty we come to God with sin. As soon as we come out of the waters of baptism, we have a clean slate, completely washed and sanctified before our God. Well, it would be nice if we could end the story there. But after you come up from those waters of baptism, then life goes on. We go back out into the world and we still living our lives. We go to work or school or whatever life has us doing. And eventually, we are going to sin again. We will be dirty again in God's sight. Now turn it over to 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. We'll just read 8 and 10 this time. We'll come back to verse 9 in a second. I believe John here is writing to a group of Christians and some of the things that he says, and he tells them here in verses 8 and 10, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned in verse 10, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So somebody comes out of the waters of baptism and they say, oh, ever since then I've lived a perfect life. That can't be true. We have all sinned. And so, again, the good thing is, our Father loves us so much that he has given us a way to have a clean slate all over again. If you look at verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have to confess. You know, sometimes I think it's wrong for us to say that we're wrong. Probably wives here would say their husbands have a hard time of saying they're wrong. I'll admit that. That's tough to do sometimes. But we need to make sure we don't have a problem of going to God in prayer and confessing that we were wrong, that we did something wrong. And part of that that I have to work on is I need to really think about what I'm doing in my life. Sometimes I get to the end of the day and I say a prayer and I say, well, please God, forgive me of my sins, but I'm not really thinking about, well, what did I do today? You know, did I do anything that would be considered a sin? I really need to put some thought into that. Am I violating God's word? And so we can go to God and we can confess that sin and we can work on that. We can go to God and be cleansed from it. And to go along with that, we have to repent and pray. In Acts chapter 9, we have an example of Simon the sorcerer who heard the preaching of Philip and he was baptized. He came up out of the watery grave and he was with a clean slate, completely pure and sinless before God. But not long after that, he sees the apostles here doing some miracles and he realizes that they're doing real miracles and what Simon had been doing were, you know, just tricks, sleight of hand. And he wanted that power. So he comes to them and he asks them, you know, can I give you some money? How much money will it take for me to have that power? And in that, I said chapter 9 here on the screen, but it should be chapter 8. I apologize for that. Peter said to him in chapter 8 and verse 20, but Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. In verse 22, repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Remember, earlier in this chapter, he had been baptized. He had a clean slate. But he had sinned and therefore he was not right with God. He had to do something about it. He had to repent and he had to pray. He had to turn around and do what was right. And then pray to God for forgiveness. And Simon understood what he needed to do in verse 24, and he said, pray to the Lord for me that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me. Simon wanted to make his life right with God again. He wanted that clean slate that he had just experienced through baptism. And so we must do too. If we have sin in our lives, we need to repent and pray to God for forgiveness. Well, that's all well and good. But let's talk a little bit here at the end about what do we do with our clean slate. The longer we live, the more we go through life, there is going to be opportunity for sin. So we need to make sure that we are filling our lives with things that are good. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we see the ultimate standard put before us. And if we can live up to this, then this pretty much sums it up for us. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. It says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy, for I am holy. It's pretty high standard, isn't it? God says, be holy, for I am holy. We need to look to God for our example. Continuing our reading in verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God and raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. We need to make sure that we go through life focused on spiritual things, making sure we're trying to be holy as God is holy, be sober, conduct ourselves with fear. And also, we need to keep in mind the reason, the motivation for all this is the high price that was paid for our clean slate. And that is, again, like we said in verse 19, the precious blood of Christ. You know, go along with that one book over in 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter here describes something that we can focus on, and I would encourage you to take this passage and to focus on each one of these things and see if you have them in your life and how you can improve them in your life. Peter says here, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. There in verse 9 it says, the person that doesn't work on these things is not fruitful as a Christian. They forgot all about that clean slate. Forgot all about that price that was paid so that they could be sinless and justified before God. Verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It takes work. We can't just be baptized and then expect, yeah, whenever, you know, my time comes, I'm just going to go right into heaven. It's going to take a lot of work to make sure, it says, be diligent to make sure our call and election is sure, so that we can have that entrance into the kingdom of God in heaven. Revelation 2 verse 10 says, be faithful unto death. And over in 2 Timothy, Paul is writing here, and he is, it sounds like he is coming to the end of his life. And to me, this would be some words that I would wish every person would be able to say on their deathbed. It says here, chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. You know, when Paul was baptized, he had a clean slate. But he made mistakes in his life, I'm sure, after he was baptized. And so he had to work on it. Maybe he had to confess to God and repent and pray. But he felt as he got to the end of his life that he had worked as a Christian enough to build on that clean slate, that he had fought the good fight, and he had a crown of righteousness waiting for him there at the end. I hope all of us will strive to have that same attitude each and every day in our life, so that when we get to that point, that we'll be ready. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that needs to take that first step. I don't ever know what to say to the people who have just been baptized. I know there's always a line. You know, people will come up here, they give them a hug or a handshake, and they say, you know, we're glad that you did that. You know, congratulations. It's hard to come up with the words. I tend to always say it feels good, doesn't it? I don't know. I've noticed that with myself, you know, since the baptism's here. It seems like every time I say that, not even thinking about it. Because you have that feeling of a clean slate. It just feels good. That you have all the weight of sin lifted off of you, and you are completely a new creature before God. I would encourage everybody here tonight who needs to do that to think seriously about it. In light of the lesson this morning, in light of what we've talked about tonight, if you need to make your life right with God through baptism, please come forward. Or maybe you've already done that. And like we talked about tonight, you need to confess sins, repent, and pray to God for forgiveness. We encourage you to come forward for that if you need to, as we stand together and sing.